Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my pleasure to welcome today's program Hayden Cardiff, who's VP of Safety Solutions at Descartes. And today we're going to talk about predictive safety. What sets the best fleets apart? So fleet safety has always been, very important, but the way leading fleets are approaching it is definitely changing. So rather than simply responding to accidents after they occur or focusing on compliance, many are using data, technology, and AI to identify risk earlier, improve driver performance, and prevent incidents before they happen. So, what separates these fleets from the rest, and what lessons can others learn from them? That's going to be the topic we're going to explore in today's episode. And it's great to have Hayden on the program to share his insights and advice on this topic. So, Hayden, welcome to the Talking Logistics.
Adrian, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
This is awesome. I mean, whenever we talk about fleets, whenever we talk about transportation, you talk to any transportation professional, safety is always one of the, top of the list, a key consideration. Often, however, cost, even though that said cost, right, it still trumps it sometimes, unfortunately. But we haven't had, I don't think we've had an episode on Talking Logistics that's focused on fleet safety in quite some time. And arguably today, as always, it's more important than ever. So I'm glad that we're kind of addressing this topic right now. Kind of like I alluded to in my opening comments, I mean, fleet safety is kind of evolving rapidly. So I guess to get the conversation started, I mean, what separates fleets that have built a strong safety culture from those that maybe are simply just meeting minimum safety requirements?
Man, that's a great question. Because there's so, it's such a big spectrum, to be candid. I mean, there's fleets who have a really strong safety culture are ones who have been able to really embody safety from the top down, but also the ground up. And that takes a lot of energy and effort. It takes the ability to really understand that it's everyone's job and it can't be just lip service. And what that looks like in practice is you can't have a safety manager tell a driver to slow down because they're having too many overspeeds or they got a speeding citation or whatever the case is. But then in the same breath, have a driver operations or dispatch manager be able to tell the driver, like, hey man, attaboy, good way to get that freight there on time. Like, you have to have everyone working hand in glove and be able to have that same message pervasive throughout the organization. So that culture really has to be strong throughout. But your ultimate question is a great one. Like, what separates the two? And I think going beyond just industry kind of standard practice, I think, is where fleets can start to really separate themselves. And so, give you one example, right? Like right now, one of the most common occurrences you see within fleet safety is, hey, I invest in cameras and I use those to look at and identify risk. And I try to hand-to-hand combat my way through coaching every one of those critical events that comes across my dashboard. I mark it as coach complete, move on to the next. And you kind of are always in this consistent race of trying to stay up to date with all these events that are coming in. Challenges that at best it becomes white noise to drivers because you're constantly just hitting them, slapping them on the wrist with different issues that are coming across. None of them are really too joined together or consistent. You're just kind of, again, reacting to the things that are happening. Where at worst, the driver gets frustrated because they feel like they're constantly being nagged. And they look elsewhere for employment. Now, the best fleets are starting to take that industry kind of standard practice and say, all right, how do I improve upon that? And be able to start leveraging some of the technology that's available to say, all right, how do I get to behaviors? How do I look at and tie in all of the available data, not just the cameras, but ELDs, FMCSA, accidents and claims, learning management, dispatch, HR, pull all of that together to give a full understanding of driver risk and then be proactive and predictive in how I actually understand driver risk and really go beyond the noise of just telematic signal and be able to say, all right, real understanding of driver risk across all of my data. So just a couple of quick examples, just like going beyond kind of the industry's standard of this is what everyone does, so we got to do it, and move on to the things that are actually effective at
Right.
improving driver risk on the road.
Yeah. So, I mean, I heard, well, there was a lot to unpack there, but the two things that really, resonated with me, one, this is like a top to bottom, safety has to be a top to bottom,
100%.
part of the organization, part of the culture. There's got to be alignment across all aspects of the organization around safety, right? Because you can't have this, hey, safety, being, taking, being one aspect here, but then encouraging drivers to perhaps to speed up a little more, or congratulating them for making it during the making that appointment, which everybody knew they had to probably speed up a little bit to get there, right? So so I think that aspect came loud and clear. I think the other thing that you said, I think, which is surprising, is that just meeting minimum safety practices, standard practices, I mean, that's table stakes, right? And the reality is that there's a lot of room for improvement even when you're meeting that those standard practices. So when you look at, I mean, that leads me to the next question. I mean, when you look at the types of safety indicators that the best fleets are paying attention to today, I mean, what are they, and how are technologies helping them? You brought up technology. How are technologies helping them turn those insights into action?
I mean, right now, again, if you polled all of your safety professionals, really just anyone in trucking today, long gone are the days where anyone will tell you they don't have enough data. Like, those days are far behind us. We have so many phenomenal systems and tools that generate an incredible amount of data. Challenges, we don't, as safety professionals, oftentimes have a lot of insight. We have a lot of data, but not a lot of insight. And so we're drowning and sometimes even choking on all the data that's coming in. But the challenge is, how do we turn that into insight? And so the indicators that we should be looking at, I think everyone has a good understanding of what they are because they're the things that we have to really look at and focus on them. Again, we are huge proponents, like, please, 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 if you don't have camera or like video telematics, go get it. Like that, like you said, table stakes. My goodness, like, go get it. So the video telematics, ELDs and kind of hours of service, FMCSA for inspections, violation citations, all of your internal documentation around call-ins for how's my driving, or logging and tracking any kind of workplace observation or customer observation, being able to jump in and look at things like learning management and training and coaching and all the receptiveness from drivers based on that, which honestly, I think that's one of the things that is less observed or documented today. It's just not just like, hey, did we do a coaching, but how did the driver take it? But then also things like driver tenure and demographic and some of the different pieces around operationally how you're using that driver. Like, all of those things play a part in understanding driver performance, but more importantly, driver risk. Now the question becomes, okay, like, we know intuitively that these things are important, but how important? What's the relationship between those things, right? Again, you having a poll for your safety managers or safety professionals in the industry, if I asked 10 different safety managers, what's more indicative of risk? What is riskier? A harsh braking or an overspeed? What would you say? You're gonna get different answers for every person you ask because we all have our inherent biases, but more importantly, the answer to that question is it depends. It depends. How fast were you going? Were you in were you on the highway, or are you in a city environment? How many overspeeds or how many harsh brakes did you have in quick succession? Like, what was the driver's tenure? Like, where geographically were they? What vehicle were they in? Like, all of those things matter. And if you don't have or understand the context and relationship between those events, you're not going to fully understand risk. So this is where having technology that allows you to again, sort through the noise to actually find signal is really, really important. So just having a solution that just aggregates or adds up the number of events, assign arbitrary weights to them, and just get a total, like it's better than nothing. It's directionally right, but it's not sufficient. You need something. This is where AI and machine learning and predictive analytics really comes into play and really shines, being able to take all of that data and add context to it, give you an understanding of here's all the behavior. Let's compare it to actual crashes that have happened and show patterns of what drivers do that legitimately lead to getting into crashes. And now, based on hundreds of thousands of those types of patterns, and billions of miles of leading indicator data across not just telematics or camera information, but all of the available insights you have from your drivers. Now you can start to really piece those two things together, leading indicators and the behaviors that lead to and tie into those actual crashes. So that's where, again, kind of going back to best in class, what fleets are doing, how can you separate? Like when you start to get into proactive territory as opposed to simply reactive or individual siloed systems, now you're getting into an area where you can really see some strong improvement.
Yeah, so I mean, what I heard there is, I mean, being a leader is not necessarily having the most data, right? Because, like, it's part of the reality is that companies have more data than they probably know what to do with, as you said, and that's true, across the board. But really, it's, putting that data in the right context or having the right context to interpret that data to be able to, more richly understand, what's happening. In your operating environment, particularly, in this case, from a, from a safety standpoint. So a lot of data without the context is it probably has a lot of noise that you end up spending a lot of time and effort, just trying to, sift your way through it to truly understand, what are the meaningful insights that we can, grab from there. We're going to talk about AI, and I'm definitely going to get to that because we can't have a conversation these days without talking about AI. But I just want to keep, just building a little bit upon this with, the data aspect of it. Again, collecting more data than ever before. I mean, what does it take ultimately, and maybe AI is part of this, right, to move from simply reacting to incidents, right? So it's just looking at everything that happened. So the hard brakes, the speeding, the logging of all this of all these things to actually predicting and preventing them, because I think that is kind of like the holy grail, right? If you could actually prevent and predict and prevent an incident, I mean that's better than trying to understand something that already happened, because by that point it's already too late, even though it's useful to learn from it. I mean, how does that, what's needed to really go get into the predict and prevent stage?
So this is where you're exactly right. This is where AI and more specifically machine learning comes into play, which is a subset of AI. And this is where the predictive analytics really shines. And again, in the context that we're speaking of right now and being able to actually predict crashes, we're moving beyond simple scorecards. We're moving beyond arbitrary weighting. We're moving beyond kind of decision trees, if-then type statements. This is where we get into the territory of being able to legitimately understand what other drivers have done based on their past behaviors and using that as a statistically significant understanding of how to then flag and predict other drivers who exhibit the same patterns of behavior in the future. So I like to think of it, we've all been on, your online shopping, whether it's Amazon, Walmart, whatever the case is, we've all gone online and we've done our shopping. And in those scenarios, right, you put something in your cart, they will always suggest to you something else that you should buy, right? And I don't know about you, Adrian, Amazon has me pegged. They've got my number, right? Like anytime I put something in a cart and they start to suggest other things to me, I can reasonably convince myself that what they're suggesting I need. I should buy those things, right? And it's not just because, they know they know my soul in and out. It's because they have data, and they've been able to use that data in a predictive fashion because they have the patterns of other people like me. They know the clicks that I have online. They know my spending habits. They know what I've bought before on their site. They know all of these things, not just about me, but about other buyers as well. And so they can see, hey, these other buyers that look like me have bought these things as well. Let's suggest that to Hayden. And so we're doing the same thing. You have to do the same thing statistically, from a predictive analytics standpoint, to help predict and prevent these crashes, right? Where we're looking at what are other drivers doing? What behaviors are they showing? What are their tenures? What are the, what are the this frequency in which these other events happen? All of that plays into account. And they're saying that pattern obviously resulted in the crash. So you have to be able to leverage more than just your gut intuition, more than just your own thought process and weighting on how you think something should be weighted from a risk standpoint. And you have to let the data actually go in and run those calculations and compare it to actual crashes and actual outcomes, and then let it dynamically tell us who is most likely to get to a crash based on how they're flagging against those historical patterns.
Now, quick question. So I'm a big proponent of network level data and networks. Obviously, Descartes is very strong in that area. So when we're talking about here driver behavior, are we talking solely within your own fleet, or do you have data that spans across multiple fleets that might be using, that might be on the network, that might be using the same platform, obviously with the, anonymized and all that, but are you looking across a much larger pool of driver behavior or just within the drivers within your own operation?
Absolutely. So at Descartes, we are very much looking across the entire pool of our customer base. And that's a really, really good point, Adrian, because it is absolutely critical to have that pooled and shared data to be able to enable this type of prediction. Candidly, I know as safety professionals, it feels like we're getting into crashes way too often. One is too many. However, from a statistics standpoint, crashes are a very infrequent occurrence. It is just a very infrequent, it is there's there are not that many crashes happening within any one individual fleet. And so being able to predict crashes is challenging, if not impossible, with the level of data that any one individual fleet has. It's just not statistically significant enough because there's not enough events to be able to say, hey, we can actually show patterns on what creates crashes with just our drivers. And so it is imperative that you are able to go out and pool together a larger group of data to be able to build these type of predictive models. Because if not, you just don't have enough data. So for example, at Descartes, like we have over 40 billion miles of driver data, of leading indicator behaviors of that include telematics, camera, FMCSA, LMS, dispatch, like all of that data, over 40 billion miles. But more importantly, I think this is the thing that a lot of people don't oftentimes think about is we've got over 500,000 unique individual crashes, over 500,000 preventable crashes in our data set. And why is that important? Because if you don't have a large amount of robust data around crashes, you can't predict crashes. You just have to have that data set to be able to predict. And it's more than just like a flag of, hey, like, did our telematics flag that there may or may not have been a crash? It is the full understanding of what's the preventability of it? What are the details around it? Road conditions, light conditions, what were the leading indicators? What was the cost of it from a
So
claim?
all that context that we talked about before.
Super important because that, again, gives you the insight that you need to be able to compare those two data sets to be able to get the actual predictions or accurate predictions that you're looking for when it comes to which drivers are most likely to get into one of those large motor preventable motor vehicle accidents.
So agree 100%. I mean, when we talk about AI in general, I mean, you really need, particularly as you said, for any kind of predictive type of capabilities, you truly need a critical mass of data to be able for it to be, meaningful. Are there any other ways that AI is delivering value in terms of changing driver behavior, or other ways that you're seeing AI, deployed in this area?
Absolutely. So, and this is one of the really cool things, like living in the era that we live, 2026 and beyond, obviously, with technology exploding. Technology is absolutely expanding what we've ever thought is capable, and AI is at the forefront of it. Now, one of the things that we are big proponents of is the fact that AI and technology broadly, but AI specifically, has to be there to help enhance human-to-human engagement. Right? And I think a lot of the times we think of how can we replace that engagement, but especially in safety and especially in trucking and transportation, it's got to be there to enhance it. Now, that's not to say that we can replace tasks or time doing less important things. We absolutely can and should be doing that, right? But the goal of technology and AI should be to enhance those human-to-human interactions. So, where is that happening outside of just predictive analytics around which drivers are at risk? Coaching is a fantastic example of this, where right now we're spending a ton of time trying to coach every single critical event that comes across our dashboard. Right? Like, I think historically, litigation has made us feel as an industry that we have to do this, where if we're not marking coaching complete on every single event that comes across our cameras, then we're now liable. Like, that is a very pervasive feeling. However, it's not the most effective, A, use of our time, and B, mode of changing driver behavior. So, how can we leverage AI to help? Huge proponents of the in-cab coaching from a lot of the cameras. Phenomenal, right? I've seen so many videos from a lot of our telematics and camera partners where driver picks up a phone as they're driving, camera sees it using AI kind of in-cab technology, speaks to the driver in a however harsh of tone that you want. We've got some of our fleets up in the Northeast that are pretty direct and some that are a little bit more Midwest nice, where it's like, hey, please put your phone down. And so I've seen drivers who are on their phone and then they get that voice prompt and like, oh, sorry. They put it down and like give a little like sorry wave and then put both hands back on the wheel. Like, that's phenomenal because that eliminates a lot of the need to coach what would oftentimes be your decent drivers, right? And now you can spend more of your time focusing on the drivers who are more at risk. So this is where now you can start to leverage the predictive analytics across all of the data, focusing on the top 10% of your drivers who are clearly at risk, and then be able to have more meaningful human-to-human contact and engagement for coaching. Terrific, right? But then also you can start to leverage the AI and generative AI to now start to help your operations team members have better talking points to coach their drivers. So now they can get rid of some of the anxiety around the stress of trying to have safety conversations, things that they're probably not as familiar with, less apt to do because they don't feel as equipped to do that. And now you can get your operations teams more involved because you can have better tooling to track and manage conversations they're having, give them better talking points and things to be more effective in those actual coaching scenarios. So again, there's a lot of things that are going on in the industry, a lot of things that we're seeing, even at Descartes, like we're leveraging AI to better find insights throughout our safety suite of solutions, being able to understand who's at risk, why, suggest training and LMS kind of coaching, and be able to better manage your time so you can spend it instead of managing data, and now you can start managing drivers.
Yeah, those are some great examples and great points. I mean, with that example you gave with the camera, noticing that driver's using his phone, I wonder if that is customizable in terms of, okay, I want to use a Boston voice, or versus I want from Ohio. I want to be a little bit, because I can imagine that will be, very, very different forms of expression depending on, which voice and accent you pick and tone you pick.
Exactly.
Well, Hayden, we've covered a lot of ground here. I think we could probably speak for another, hour or so, on these various dimensions of fleet safety. But maybe as a way to wrap up, let's look forward. Let's say 3 to 5 years. I mean, what will distinguish the safest and highest performing fleets from the rest? And what should fleet operators start doing today to prepare?
Yeah, man, that's a fantastic question. Like, I think the biggest piece is setting yourself up to be future-proof. Because technology is moving so quickly, because one system that's used today might be outdated tomorrow. Like, you've got to be able to have a strong foundation for your safety team and your safety practice. And so what we found the best fleets doing is having that foundational layer that allows them to integrate into and connect all the different third-party pieces, but then have that foundational layer consistent. So being able to have a holistic safety solution that allows you to tie in from your ELDs to your cameras, to the FMCSA, to the accidents and claims, be able to log and track some of that data internally as opposed to in spreadsheets and other and other internal SharePoints. Have that, again, that foundational layer, build that predictive analytics on top of, and then be able to use that as the springboard for everything else in the future. So once you have that foundational layer, now that, that overarching safety solution, now you can plug in future solutions down the road of new data sets. New solutions that you feel like are a better fit for your fleet at that time, but it doesn't disrupt the day-to-day operations, day-to-day flows, the workflows that your team are using to identify risky drivers, to coach them effectively, to manage your awards and recognition program, to manage your progressive discipline process, to manage your compliance, and all the different pieces that you need to do. When you have that foundational layer, it really helps to future-proof you as you start to prepare for things that come down the line.
Great. I think just circling back to what we talked about at the beginning, I think another key question to ask yourself is, if all you're doing is simply meeting, minimum safety requirements and your practices are all just the standard basic, processes, I think that's a sign that you've got significant room for improvement because the leaders are, moving way, way beyond that. And I think the point about, future-proofing your platform, future-proofing your approach to safety, I think, is another important one. Hayden, again, thank you for making the time to be with us, sharing some great insights and advice on this topic of fleet safety, which, again, like I said before, is critically important and one that we'll certainly continue to address here on Talk and Logistics. So great. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, Adrian, again, I appreciate you having me and looking forward to helping out anytime in the future as I can.
Great. I want to thank those of you that joined us. If you're watching this episode on demand, either at the Descartes website or on Talking Logistics, and you've got a question or a comment for Hayden, please post it there, and I'm sure he'll be more than happy to respond via that medium. Again, thank you for joining us, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.